Welcome to today's edition of The Bible Says. Our study this morning is in Colossians chapter 2. As we have begun this study several weeks ago, we have progressed in this study so far as Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Let's pick it up once again with verse 7. We stopped in verse 7 yesterday. Verse 7 as we continue then, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We talked about the idea of being rooted and built up in him, and the idea of it being an ongoing, a continuing process, constantly being built up, edified in the faith in Christ Jesus. Notice then, as we continue, as ye have been taught. As ye have been taught. Now, where had they been taught that? Well, either in his personal ministry as he was in Colossae, or the continuing ministry, teaching ministry of the pastor of the church. Say, listen, my friend, if you're a Christian, for a moment, be critical. Be honest, but be critical in a positive sense. Do you attend church on a regular basis? And if you do, why? If you attend services for any other reason than the number one primary reason, and that is to grow, I want you to evaluate where you're at and why you're there. As you look at the ministry of the church in the book of Acts, you will find the believers continued from day to day in the apostles' fellowship and doctrine. They had fellowship one with the other, but they were there to hear the doctrine, to be taught by the apostles. Church attendance today is not primarily for evangelism. It is primarily for a teaching ministry to those who know Christ, who need to grow. A church that is not teaching the congregation the Word of God is a church that is failing in the commission that God established for the church. There needs to be an evangelistic thrust to the teaching, but there has to be this emphasis on the growth of the believer in the faith. Now, I find that there are churches that are not sound in the faith who are big on teaching, and what they're teaching is not biblically accurate. And you need to be the one to determine, is it accurate or not? But the only way you're going to be able to come to that evaluation is you're going to have to actively and aggressively compare what you're being taught with what the Bible says. May I suggest to you that if you are not presently attending a church that teaches the Word of God, that aggressively approaches the idea of teaching the Scriptures so that the believers grow, I suggest to you that you need to look around, shop around, and find one that does teach the Word of God. Now, you'll notice I have not said you must attend Calvary Bible Church. I said you find a church that teaches the Word of God. If you've got one, praise God for it. You need to be actively praying for your pastor and for those who teach the Word of God, that they would be relying upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives to make the Word clear and understandable and applicable to the lives of the congregation. But if you don't have a situation like that, find one. Find one. Of course, I'm not going to turn you away if you want to visit our services and check it out and see for yourself, is this a place that teaches the Word of God? But by all means, for your sake, spiritually, for the sake of your children, for the sake of your family, find a church that consistently teaches the Scripture. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught. There was an active and aggressive teaching ministry involved. attached to this church in Colossae, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, the word abounding means to exceed expectations. Abounding therein, in what? Well, this idea of being built up in the faith, of being established in the faith. They had been taught that they needed to exceed expectations in this teaching with thanksgiving. That's why I said if you have a pastor that teaches the Word of God, you need to pray for him. Thank God for him. Praise the Lord for him. Hold him up in prayer. You'll never really know, I don't suppose, this side of eternity, how much your pastor has to rely on your prayer. There are times I think even the preachers don't fully appreciate the ministry of prayer and how much they are dependent upon prayer. But pray for him anyhow. He might be just a big dummy that doesn't know how much he needs it. His heart's in the right place. Pray for him. Pray for him. Now, beware, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you, lead astray, with the idea in mind of plunder, spoil you. You've heard the expression, the spoils of war. Yeah, that's what you get to pick up or having won the battle. That's what you get to take home as booty, as loot, spoils of war. Now, if any man is going to spoil you, that is, they're going to take advantage of you. They're going to take that which is rightfully yours. Beware. Now, this is a direct command. Beware. Direct the mind. Discern. Weigh carefully. Consider analytically. All of those ideas going into this word, beware. Beware, be on guard, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain means empty. Deceit, deception, trickery, it's a lie. A lie can be defined as the intent to deceive, as well as some spoken deception. It's the intention to deceive. And anything that does that, anything that leads a person away from the truth, is a deception, and it is a lie. Beware lest any man spoil you by the means of philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition, this philosophy, this vanity, is after or is based on the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, the rudiments, the underlying principles, the primary principles of the world, that is the world system, as opposed to the program of God, the program of man, based on human reasoning, human value systems. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So many of the cults thrive in the matter of gaining what they advertise as new converts, but the means in which they go about it is deceptive. It's based on a lie. There is one group in particular that comes to mind that bases a strategy. The strategy is based on getting you to agree. They'll make several statements, they'll ask questions, that the answer is going to be in the affirmative. For example, I'll use a couple of these. If you invite some of these birds into your house for a quote-unquote Bible study, they'll whip out their literature and a version of the Bible, or their version or per version of the Bible. And they'll start this study off, and they'll say, how did God speak to people in the past? By prophets, right? And you nod your head. God's men were the prophets, right? That's right. And God's men always spoke what God wanted them to speak. Is that right? That's right. Yep. And they got you nodding your head like one of these little toy drinking birds. You know what I'm talking about. You get your head nodding, and then they slip in that first little thing. They'll make a statement, and they'll say, well, so-and-so was a prophet of God. And you're going, huh? But you've already been nodding, and so you don't immediately reject that. You're going, because you're in the yes mode, okay? So-and-so was a prophet of God. Now, we've already established that the prophets of God always speak the word of God, don't we? Yeah. Well, so-and-so, and they'll name the man, big shot in their particular cult. They'll say, he also revealed the word of God. If you're in the yes mode, it takes a deliberate action, a deliberate act of the will on your part to say, hold it right there. This man was not a prophet. You're saying he was, but as such, what he said was not right according to the Bible. Therefore, the whole thing breaks down. But by using these philosophical approaches, by using the strategies that are used by the world, they would spoil you. They would lead you astray. They would plunder what's rightfully yours. Now, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, for in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Physically, everything that makes God God dwells in, abides in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't let any of these yahoos tell you that Jesus was a Son of God, not God the Son. Some of these cults, go back to that for a minute. There's one of them in particular. Not name the name you want to know or can't figure it out on your own. I'll be glad to tell you. Not going to broadcast it lest anybody get their dander up. But, for instance, in the Gospel according to John, the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This one particular cult got confronted with that too many times, so they found somebody for hire, and they translated the English back into the Greek, and then they translated the Greek into the English, but they got the translation they wanted. So they said, oh no, our Bible's translated from the Greek. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. And their translation of it reads like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Wait a minute. All they did was insert one indefinite article. The Scripture says the Greek, the manuscripts that the Bible's translated from, says, and the Word was God. The Word was divine, not a God. They would belittle, they would cut down and diminish the deity of Christ. Know the Scripture. What does the Bible say? Well, the clock says it's time for me to stop. I hope you'll join me next time for the next edition of The Bible Says.